Today we are starting a new series, one I'm very excited about. Excitement has been mixed with apprehension, but I think I'm just very excited about it. I think it's going to be very good for us. And another one of my friends actually found out about a month ago that he's doing the same kind of thing. Very interesting. That's kind of surprising to me because this doesn't seem like something to be terribly easy to pull off. It's not going to be very preachy. Well, that's probably a lie. It's not tended to be very preachy. It's more just teaching. And we'll see how it goes. But today we're going to just talk about the idea of doctrine, because we're going to go into I think it's 12 or 13 weeks of a doctrinal study. We're just going to go through some of the foundational or core doctrines of the scriptures and look at those. And I'll say this again as we get further in, but my goal is for us today to understand the purpose of doctrine, the importance of doctrine. Why in the world would we do this? Why would we do this? Why would we diverge and have this be more of a class time? And I think that was something that God really impressed on me even just this week, last week, about the importance of doctrine. As I talked with this man I'm going to share with you about today, not all of our times together, and please forgive me for the bad-looking PowerPoint, something technological happened. That's a surprise, isn't it? That I had something technological that didn't work, but it'll be okay. It's not going to be square sometimes. But we're not always going to have a key passage, but this one just fits. This is our key passage for today as we talk about doctrine. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That just encapsulates. We'll come back to the idea of why we're studying doctrine. We'll come back to this at the end. And challenge, it's going to be challenging for me. Please pray for me through this entire series. There's a lot of cross-references, much more than is normal. And I hope that this will be helpful for us. But let's pray together and ask God to guide us, and we'll dig into this topic. God, thank you so much for your word. As we'll see, as we think, we know that the only right doctrine is doctrine that comes out of your word. It is just us trying to understand and trying to explain what you have told us clearly. I pray that you'd help us as we go through, not just today, of course, that we do need your help today to understand the topic of doctrine, the idea of doctrine, why it's important and why we're doing this and why this is something we should pay attention to, but also over the next few weeks as we dig into the doctrines. I just pray that it'd be something we could absorb, something that we could learn and learn why we believe what we believe and be able to defend those things well. And I just pray that you'd guide us through this whole study, and certainly as we meet together throughout the rest of the year, as we think through what parts of your word we can dig into, just give us guidance and just use the reading of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, doctrine, it's a very, nowadays, kind of a very Christian-y sounding word. It's something that's familiar to us from the Latin word doctrina. It just means teaching or instruction. And we'll funnel that down a little bit here, but that's really the basic meaning: teaching or instruction, your doctrine. And here's some dictionary definitions. They kind of pile up, unfortunately, but a belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a group. So general, we're going to go from general to specific, right? Teaching, beliefs held or taught by a group. A principle or position or the body of principles in a branch of knowledge or a system or belief. It's very important. You think about this, because English is a very imperfect language. You know, I say that a lot, but it's very true. Because when we say doctrine, we don't necessarily mean what we mean. If I say to you, hey, tell me about your doctrine, you usually would answer by saying you would talk about the principles or body of principles that surround your belief system. Right? Here's what we mean. This is what our Baptist position is. Here's what Blair Ridge's position is on who the Lord is, who the Father is, right? How you're saved, things like that. But literally, it just means doctrine. So we kind of go from the broad, teaching, But it's specific. It's our body of beliefs. It's what we believe. We put these things together. When we say doctrine, we mean these are the things that we believe together. We've gotten systematic. That's one of the definitions, a codification. And that just means that you wrote it down, right? You put it into a code. A codification of beliefs or a body of teachings or instructions, taught principles or positions as the essence of teachings in a given branch of knowledge or in a belief system. See how important that is? So we've taken, it's the teaching, right? It's our beliefs. It's the body of them that we bring them all together and then we write them down. We have, you can know, that's not necessarily how the world always operates, but this is what we mean when we say doctrine. We wrote it down, and I'll probably say this again, but this, just in general terms, is this is what you can expect to hear when you come here. These are the beliefs that we hold. And we're very unlikely to divert from those held beliefs. And we've codified those for a reason so that we can come back to those. There's safety in that. And we'll see that when I tell you the story of Jack. The Greek word that is very often in most of the scriptures that that I'll bring out is didasko. And it's in the ESV mostly translated teaching. It's translated doctrine a few times, but in a lot of the King James and New King James, it'll say doctrine right in there. That means the same thing. It's just teaching. Doctrine, instruction, teaching, they're very synonymous in the scriptures that we're going to look at. The Hebrew word, lekwetch, instruction, persuasion, teaching, same idea. So doctrine equals teaching. It's the teachings. It'll be the teachings of the church. You could say it this way. This is what we believe. This is what you can expect. Oh, this is what we believe. This is what you can expect to be taught here. You know, these are the, you'll, when you come here, you should expect these things to be taught. It's what we believe the Bible teaches. And it's the systematic categorization of Bible teachings. Now, we're going to cover core doctrines over the next 3 months. And I would say there's a couple things that I caveat here. It's very difficult for every person ever in all of history to hold every doctrine exactly the same. It's just really unlikely, right? So we're not saying, and I'm not saying as we go through this, if you don't believe this, you're just not one of us. That's just not true. There's room for discussion on a lot of these things. That's what it means to be human, right? Especially when we get into like end time studies, eschatology. There's some wide variations in ways that you can look at that, and it's okay. You know, we're not saying you can't be here, don't be here if you don't believe every one of these exactly the same. But this is what we believe as a body. We've codified these things in our doctrinal statement, and so generally, this is the kind of thing you're going to be taught here. So that's why it's so important, I think, to write these down. It just helps us. So why do we study then? This idea, why do we study doctrine? Why would we do it on Sunday morning? Well, actually, doctrine is life, if you will. Not in some angsty emotional way, but it's just the fact is you're being taught every day. And you are teaching every day. And when we go through the biblical counseling, that's one of the things that they teach you early, is you are a counselor. You know, a lot of people want to, well, I'm not a counselor. No, you're a counselor. You just might as well make it biblical counsel, right? You might as well be good counsel. Well, you're a teacher. You're teaching something. Your life teaches people something. Your words teach people something. They may as well be right teachings, right doctrine. So it's very important that we get this right. Teaching or doctrine is normal for us as people, but especially as Christians, right? I mean, we come every Sunday. We are having teaching every Sunday. We get that. So it's very important. That's why we study this. We use doctrine daily. We interpret life via God's word every day. You take what you believe, your systematic set of beliefs, and you move that into life unconsciously every day, all the time. You respond. When you respond out of sinful anger because something doesn't go your way, you are applying what you believe. And it's wrong at that point, right? Because God is sovereign and God is good, and you need to take the interpretation of life and bend that into right doctrine. You see, you do that every day. And so the doctrine is so critically important that we get the, that we get it right on doctrine, how we interpret life. You're always being taught and you're always teaching. I think that's just a key principle. We can sometimes think that life can be passive and you can just bounce through life. It's not. Life is never passive. You're always taking in and you're always putting out. You're always teaching. And so get your doctrine square. Get your doctrine right. Be sure your doctrine. Why study doctrine? Doctrine is part of life. You use doctrine daily. And you have to be sure that your doctrine is biblical doctrine. So this is where I'll give you at least the first story about this man that I met in Pensacola named Jack. So we had not been able to do much. We had been cloistered in our camper, not wanting to do much for a week at least, lay around, and thank the Lord I didn't get pneumonia. Afterward, you do more research and you find out, hey, don't lay down much. Oh, okay, that's all I did for like 5 days. But I like to sleep on my stomach, which is what you're supposed to do, so I kind of scored that one by accident. Praise the Lord. Well, we are getting ready to come home. We came home quite a bit early, and Lori just wanted to get home. I don't blame her. And she said, let's go down to this park, middle of the day, middle of the week. There probably won't be anybody there. We'll sit on a bench. We were way past the contagious stage. We had looked into it. And I said, that's fine. I mean, we can do something at least. So we went down there. We'll try to avoid people. What do you think happens? Guy comes up and talks to us. And that, you know, that happens in the South a lot. So I thought, well, I got a decision to make. Do I tell the guy, go away? But I did want to talk to him. So I said, well, I'm trying to stay back from the dude. I'll just try to talk to the dude. And he asked me, are you Christian? Great question, right? And so I said, yes, I am. And shared the gospel with him, because you meet a lot of people that think they're Christian and they have crazy ideas, which Jack turned out to be one of. And he started telling me a bunch of crazy things. And so I said to him, okay, I wanted to get a sense of where I needed this conversation to go. So I said, where do you go to church? Jack, where do you go to church? I am the church. You know, if I was smarter than I am, I would have got out some paper and started writing down. Because I felt like Jack hit 8 classical heresies in 5 minutes. You know, ones that just are classic. They're written down, you know. Boom, 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 boom. But I didn't. And so I just went from memory on some of our conversation. We talked for probably almost an hour. So this was quite a conversation. And so normally when I'm witnessing someone, I don't know how much time I have. So I want them to go to the idea of salvation. I want them to know that they need to put their trust in Jesus Christ. So I started talking to Jack about John chapter 3. And I've been thinking about that. I may try a little different tact in the future, but he wanted to talk about John 3. It's very interesting. It was key to his made-up belief system. His doctrine, his core beliefs were key. John 3 was key to those, and that was very interesting. But he told me some crazy things. Now, I know two of the things he said. To be born again, you need baptism, fire. That one's a weird one. I'll explain that. And then we think spirit. We didn't keep his paper. I'm weird. When I get cult things, I just can't hold on to them. I always want to throw them away. I don't know. Maybe I should hold on. I used to have an old Mormon Bible, Book of Mormon, and it has a whole bunch of doctrines in it that they don't use anymore. It's so handy. I just couldn't keep it. I threw it away. I should have kept the stupid thing. But anyway, I threw his thing away, so I can't remember if it was spirit. I think he said baptism, fire, and spirit, but I'm not sure. It seemed like it was weirder than that. I just can't remember what it was. But he said that God spoke to him. That was one of his things. God spoke to him often. Now, here's where I'm going to try to connect Jack to some of these why doctrine, because what Jack would do is he would take what God said to him, right? And then he would find a way to cram some Bible verse into that, because God told me. I have to go with what God told me. And I told Jack several times, you know, Jack, God has already spoken. You have the Bible. You need to get into the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. Show me that in the Bible. I kept asking Jack that, and he would want to move on. And he said, so God told me this. I need these three things. And he said, God told me, baptize yourself. Where do you find that in the Bible? Right? Think about that. What's Jack's problem there? It's bad doctrine. Baptize yourself. I am the church. Think about this, right? These are doctrinal issues. This is a made-up religious system that this man has at this point. The fire. He said, God gave me the fire, and I'm supposed to take the fire, and I give it to other people. And then, weirdly, baptism was like central to his belief. But his baptism was someone told him, mix roses, a little bit of olive oil, 2 tablespoons, I think, and a sprinkle of water, and pew, and that's baptism to him. Okay, you see? Doctrine. That's his doctrinal position. False. Wrong. Took him to Acts chapter 5, I believe, where Stephen, they went down into the water. And he said, see, baptism. I said, yeah, but where are the roses? Where's the oil? That's crazy. That's not in there. I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. Well, move on. Right? Okay, his doctrine was wrong. His hope, though, was he would give people the fire, and then he would hope that they would be, they had been baptized at some point, and whatever that baptism was or meant. He actually told me, I said, what about the thief on the cross? And he said, yeah, he must have been baptized at some point. Isn't that interesting? I said, how does that make sense to you? Baptism is a sign of an inward grace. It's something that happens to people after they're saved. Well, he must have been baptized before because Jesus said he'd be in heaven. So in his mind, this dude was a criminal. And I said, you know what? He was mocking Jesus that same day. Oh, no, he wasn't. Yes, he was. Look at all of the Gospels. He was mocking Jesus and then he repented. He was not a believer. He had not been baptized in faith. You see, very interesting. Very interesting, his doctrine. God spoke to Jack often, and Jack listened to the voice even if it went against the Bible. Jack was one of those people that would not believe the apostles. He would only believe the words of Jesus in the Bible. Very interesting. Or the Old Testament, he wouldn't believe any of that. It had to be Jesus. So it's very difficult dancing around that. And I did challenge him on that, that the Bible says that it's the word of God and that these apostles are speaking from God, and talked to him about that, but he didn't. I want to talk about that. He had an odd idea of 666. Think about this. This is all doctrinal stuff. It's all so important. In his paper, it said, 666, do you want to know what it means? Hey, there ain't anybody that cares about Christianity that don't want to know what that means, right? Right? Yes, I want to know what that means. Tell me about it. Not from him, right? Some crazy guy with the fire and some spirit at work in him. I don't know whose spirit it is. Okay, but 6, reject the Father. 6, reject the Son. 6, reject the Spirit. Sounds legitimate, doesn't it? Right? Except for that it's the number of a man. There's one problem with Jack's doctrine. Someone say what it is. That ain't in the Scripture. Right? He made that up. Okay? Doctrine. The Scriptures don't say anything like that. He just applied that to his doctrinal position. He applied that and it was wrong. We, you know, it could be, but it's not what the Bible says. He took John chapter 3, another thing that he did that was a problem. His doctrine, his core doctrine was that you must be born again of water and spirit. And he said, whoa, Jesus said that. Jesus said that. And I said, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. I said, let's open up our Bibles and look. John chapter 3. Surely, surely, I say to you, you must be born again. Doesn't say born again of the, right? You must be born again. Verse 5 later says you must be born of water and spirit. So he took 5, jammed it into 3, made a doctrinal position, wrote it on his paper as a scripture. Said, here's what Jesus says. You must be born again of water and spirit. Wrote that down. So if you just read his paper and you didn't have your Bible, you would think this is what God says. But it wasn't what he said. I said, you're conflating scriptures. You can't do that. That's false doctrine. Well, no, that's what it means. That's what God told me. That's what it means. You see? How do you go against that, right? Well, God told me that ain't what that says. He told me a long time ago, right? He told me. He wrote it down. Very interesting. He had a prayer on his paper that said you have to ask God into your heart, which was the closest thing to faith in our entire conversation for an hour. Jack never mentioned faith in Christ. And I kept telling him, I said, Jack, You're out here talking to people, and you're not telling them how to be born again. That's my concern. You're not telling them what's right. You're giving them a confusing message that's not going to lead people to be born again. But I don't want them to go to the lake of fire. I don't either, Jack, but you're not helping. The Holy Spirit was not a person or God, some kind of a mystical force. He wouldn't really go there with the Holy Spirit. He didn't want to talk about the Holy Spirit at all. Now, this is why doctrine is so important, right? Think about that. And it was easy for me to flow into conversation with Jack because I love to talk about these things. And I know what I believe. And I know where to find it in the scriptures. I know where to take people to talk about these things. And we weren't mad, okay? Don't get that. We weren't mad. We were arguing, you know, we weren't at each other or nothing. We were talking, okay? And so doctrine is so important. Now, just as an aside, as I talked with him, one of the things that I was thinking often, I think of Philippians, some preach Christ out of pretense, some preach Christ out of truth, and this I rejoice, right? I don't care what your motivation is. If Christ gets preached, good. And I was thinking, you know what? At least Jack is out there witnessing. That's what I was thinking. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that anymore. I'm not glad Jack's witnessing. I'm not. I actually wish Jack would stay home. Because he is not sharing the truth. It doesn't help a person. It doesn't help a solitary person. In fact, it might cause confusion. Very likely. It could cause someone, something I've just been meditating on, even think about our method of evangelism. Can we be telling people and giving them false assurance because we don't share the gospel clearly and then sending them away? Hey, raise your hand. If you're back there and you want God, raise your hand. Really? Place your trust in Christ. Right? Be saved. Be born again. Don't shed confusion on people. And I thought he was witnessing. That's good. But he was a false witness. That's not good. It's not good. Why doctrine? Isn't doctrine so important? Because our world is full of bad doctrine. And I don't think, now hear this, Jack is not a bad guy, okay? I don't get that sense at all. I think he's just confused. I think he's just lost. He just doesn't know any better, and he hears some voice, and it's confusing, right? Okay? He's not a bad guy. In fact, I would like to see Jack again. But the world is full of bad doctrine, bad teaching, teaching that is not true. I'm going to scroll a few of these together. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. The world's full of that. Boy, has there been any divisions caused this year? The world is full of that, amen? Avoid people teaching that. There's a lot of, the world's full of bad doctrine. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia or made it Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach a different doctrine. There's only one. You know, I don't know, maybe if you're not like me, but I always think afterwards, dang it, I'm so slow on the uptake. I wish I could have thought of more things. I mean, I talked to the dude for an hour. I think I was okay. But I just wish, you know, because Paul said, look, if an angel from heaven tells you any other gospel, let him be accursed, right? Tell your voice to shut up and open your Bible. Amen? Right? Open your Bible. God's voice will, if God speaks vocally, which I don't believe he does much, we'll see that as we go through some more doctrine stuff, he could. If he's never going to contradict his word, ever, never, you can write that down. Don't trust impressions, visions, whatever. Trust the word of God. He's already spoken. Charge those people not to teach any other different doctrine. The sexually immoral men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. There's a lot of bad doctrine in the world. Oh, don't worry about it. We got to celebrate that. God didn't mean that, right? Turns out he did mean it. Right? Turns out he meant what he said. It's contrary to sound doctrine. World's full of it. We have to get our doctrine right. And for the right reason, amen? Because God has spoken. It's not our opinion. It's what God has said. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried every wind of doctrine. We don't want to be immature people lost in crazy idea after crazy idea when we have the Word of God. every wind of doctrine by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. There's not only a world full of bad doctrine, there's people scheming to lie to you. Think about that. You have to know doctrine, amen? You have to know what is right. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Tell me what I want to hear. And that can be from a lot of spectrums of belief, amen? I want to hear about this. I want to hear about that. I don't like to hear that. What does God say? We need to stick to what God says. The time is coming people want bad doctrine, actually. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teachings has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. Don't even say, hey, good to see you. Right? Right? So important. There's so much bad doctrine in the world. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name. You did not deny my faith, even the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So that's a hard place to live, amen? Satan's throne, yeah, persecution, somebody in your own body's dead. It's pretty hard, okay? But I have a few things against you. You have some there, so the people in the church, okay? You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. The church had such poor doctrine that they accepted people practicing sexual immorality in their church, sacrificing, eating food sacrificed to idols. And you hold some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans, which is interesting. We're not real sure on that. I won't go into it. There's some interesting theories on that one. Bad doctrine. See to it that no one takes you captive. No one enslaves you. No one traps you. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. We live in a world full of bad doctrine, lies, deceit. Philosophy sounds good. Oh yeah, that sounds so right. Yeah, that guy's smart. He has 19 PhDs, right? So smart. No, don't be taken in by them. Stick, that's why you need good doctrine. Stick to what Christ has said and who Christ is. So why doctrine? Because the world is full of bad doctrine. We need to be sure that we have what's true, that we're practicing right doctrine. We want to make sure that our doctrine is right. It's pure. As good, as well as we can as fallen people, that we have it right. We've thought about it. We've studied. We know what God says and what God means. Talking of pastors, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and able to rebuke those who contradict it. We have to have right doctrine. As for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and in the good doctrine that you have followed. We have to have right doctrine. We have to. It's important. You know, if you think about the weight of being a Christian, if you will, the responsibility, the weighty responsibility we have. Jack just really, really helped me see this in crystal clear vision. That we go out into the world and literally the eternal destiny of people is riding, it's on the balance, and then God is going to use our words to help these people make decisions on eternity, right? Okay? This isn't where they're going to work, what house to buy, that car was too expensive. No, this is their soul. That's weighty, amen? Your doctrine better be right. Amen? You better have thought about it. You better have put some effort into it. You better have dug into those scriptures. You better at least know what you believe and why you believe it. Until I come, devote yourself to public teaching, public reading of scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Get your doctrine square. Devote yourself to it. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. You followed my doctrine. And what's my doctrine? Conduct, faith, patience, my love, you know, the teachings, verbal teaching, teaching with your life. We have many examples of why doctrine is important in the scriptures. I'll go through these somewhat quickly. Solomon, hero, sons, a father's instruction. Hey, sons, listen to my doctrine. I'm going to teach you. Right? Be attentive to that you may gain insight. I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. Listen up. I'm going to teach you. Solomon, parents. Parents, your number one role in the lives of your children is to teach them what's right. You got to teach them. You got to teach them by your words, by your example, and you got to lead them. You got to be the kind of Christian that they can follow. Teach them. It's so important. They're getting taught all the time, and you're teaching them all the time too, right? Be sure you're teaching them what's right. I shared with some people last month, you know, there ain't a lot in life that I've done well. That probably sounds stupid, but it's really true. I really believe that. There ain't a lot in life I've done well. But living out Christ before our kids is something that I think we did well in. I know our kids could tell you story after story of meeting some person and dad going up and sharing the gospel with them. Okay? They've seen it. And as failed, as flawed as we are, we just are what we are. Right? This is just, you see what you get. We're not playing any games. We live this stuff out. We're trying to be the best follower of Christ we can. We don't do as well as we should, but that's what our kids have seen. Follow my instruction. Don't forsake my teaching. Jesus, of course, his whole ministry was about teaching. He went everywhere teaching people. People were lost, and so he taught them. He told them what they needed. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up in the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled. How is it this man has learning when he's never studied? And Jesus said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God, whether I am speaking in my own authority. And when they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, what is this, a new teaching? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. His works backed up his teaching. How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about the bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood. He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching, of the bad doctrine, right? See, Jesus warned his disciples. Those guys have bad doctrine. Beware of that. Listen to my doctrine. You see? Biblical example, Jesus Christ himself. Doctrine is important. The early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. The fellowship of the breaking of bread and prayers. The apostles taught. And what did they do? Listen to the words. They, say it, devoted themselves, right? It's very important in the life of the church. They devoted themselves to the doctrine. Apostles, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Good job, right? Right? Way to go, right? You intend to bring this man's blood upon us. This is one of Jacob and I, it's funny, we talk about these things sometimes, because they said, oh, just bring his blood on us. It'll be fine. Crucify him. And then after he did, oh, well, you're trying to bring his blood on us. Right? Yeah, see? They just twisted it. Their doctrine was bad. The apostles, though, they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Okay? That's quite an example. Paul, they took him and brought him in the Areopagus saying, may we know what this new teaching or doctrine is that you're presenting. He went to the pagans. Pastor's primary job is to deal in doctrine. The elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. It's primary job of a pastor. So doctrine, as we see in these things, is one of the main focuses of the church. It's what we're here for. And that's, I think that's clarifying. I know I'm getting close to my time where I need to be done. I think it's clarifying because, you know, we've had, in recent history, we've had ideas of church, and we'll look at three different messages on the church. We've had ideas of church where you say, well, here's how we grow our church, which that's already a problem, isn't it? Because Christ is building his church. We just have to do what God wants us to do. Got to get him into church and let the pastor preach at him. I remember Taylor, she was like 3 or 4 years old, and she said, I know how grandma and grandpa can get saved. Oh, wow, cool. Have daddy preach to them. awesome, right? It was just cool to see your heart at that age. But that's not, it's not, the idea is that this is for the church, right? We're here preaching, teaching. It's doctrine for us to grow. It's not an evangelistic, particularly an evangelistic thing. Now, we talk about the gospel all the time. Please do invite unsaved people here so we can meet them. But really, evangelism helps, usually starts more in one-to-one. You know, you're talking to people, having Bible studies with people, and then you want them to be added to the church. This is not a place to, for primarily evangelism. Examples. Why doctrine? So we can obey well. Notice some of these. Be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving yourself. You know, I've seen this in life very often. We're all fallen. We all have weaknesses. But I've seen this very often where people who are very confident in their doctrine, in their belief system, but their belief system never gets legs. And never comes out in the doer, right? In fact, I have firsthand witnessed people angrily argue over Bible doctrine. Sitting there sinning against each other. Why they're right and the other one's a fool. Be a doer of the word, all right? You're both wrong right now. We need to square up some other doctrines before we talk about this one, don't we? You're deceived. You gotta obey well. How are you going to obey well if you don't have right doctrine? Think about it. If your doctrine is bad and you obey that, are you obeying well? No. Right? You're obeying something that is not from God. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient to the heart, the standard of teaching to which you were committed. It makes you obedient. And you've maybe heard this said, right? Not all theology is practical theology. Right doctrine is practical. All theology is practical theology. Right doctrine is always obeyed. It's always applied. If you don't apply it, then you're not, you're not obeying well. You're not really handling doctrine well. Not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. It's something you wear. It's part of you. Doctrine is important. Doctrine summarizes the truths of the Bible. So when we, remember, we're funneling it down today. Here's the big idea, and it funnels it down. When we say doctrine, we mean what God says. So doctrine summarizes the truth of the Bible. Doctrines explain life, the issues of life, and the nature of God. Very important. Doctrines contribute to the health of the church. Good doctrine leads to right living. And that's the intent of good doctrine, that you would be changed, right? That you would be different. And then doctrine helps us so that at the end of the day, we know God more. We know him. It deepens our relationship with God. I mean, think about it. If God went to the trouble that he did in the way that he did to give us this beautiful word, right? And then you just don't learn it, right? That's absurd, isn't it? He's given us this, and then we dig in. Why? Because this tells us about him. We love him. We want to know him. Wow, this is who God is. The character of God just comes out in the pages of his word. And you have a relationship with him. You know God. You become more like him. So we use the Bible, the source of our doctrine. It's our Creator's word to us. Very briefly, because we'll come back to this idea when we get into the Bible in our doctrinal times, is a word called hermeneutics. And just briefly, we take the Bible as literal. It's incredibly important. It's literal unless the text itself calls for allegory or something. It usually says right in there, and here's what that vision meant, right? Otherwise, we take the Bible as literal. It's God. I was at a ordination one time, and a guy who's moved on, he said something beautiful when he was dealing with the issue of translations. And he said, "I believe God intends his word to be understood." Isn't that good? Think about it. God wants us to understand his word, right? So, of course, we would take it literally. He's not trying to purposely go to all the trouble to give us his word and then encrypt it. Oh, here you go. Sorry, you won't understand a word of it. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? He wants us to know him. And so we take it literally. Grammar is important. Context is very important. And historical context is, I'm going to say it this way, you can bust my chops if you want to, historical context is moderately important. And the reason I say it that way is because it did mean something in their time, and sometimes it's helpful, but the Bible is timeless. You don't have to understand Mesopotamian culture to know what God means, okay? But it is moderately important. It's not critically important. So we use the Bible and we use it as intended. All scripture is breathed out by God. Remember that? Well, God told me. Well, if what God's voice told you is in opposition to what? Scripture, right? All scripture is breathed out by God. God won't contradict himself. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. So we use the Bible and we use it as God intends us to. For teaching, that's just to give us the instruction, here's what God expects of you. For reproof, hey, you're off the rails, get right, right? Change what you're doing, you're wrong. Reproof, correction, here's how you get back. Here's the path back. Right? And then training. Here's how you grow. Here's how you continue to follow Christ. This one's a little confusing. I'm going to go through it. I was going over it today, and I'm like, this is a whole message just to explain this confusing passage. So I'm just going to briefly touch on it. But causes growth is the point I was trying to get out of this one. Leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. Go on to maturity. Okay? The Bible should cause us to grow. Our doctrine should give us, we should be more like Christ at the end of the day. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever into eternity. As we study doctrine, we should know God more and we should become like him. He gave some, the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. I used to tell Duke that he had a lot of job security based on that verse. Right? This is a lifelong thing to pursue Christ. And doctrine is at the key to it. Notice that. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ, to attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Right? Our doctrine is so important, isn't it? What we believe about what God has said and who he is critically important. And sitting here now, a few days, you know, a week past, meeting Jack, and I'm slow on the uptake. I wish I could go back in time and just be very frank with Jack. I really do. And just say, Jack, you're concerned about other people going to the lake of fire. I'm concerned you're going to the lake of fire. Your doctrine doesn't square with the Bible. And it's so critically important. If your doctrine is wrong, if what you believe is wrong, you can believe it with all your heart, you can follow it zealously, you can go out and make up papers and share them with people, and you're still separated from God. At the end of the day, you're still lost. Doctrine is critically important. Because in it, we take what God says in the Bible, and we look at the whole picture of the Word, and we read it, and we love it, and we learn of God, and we write down systematically what it means to be a person, who God the Father is, who Jesus is, what does it mean to be saved, how are you born again? First question I asked Jack, and he just didn't, no idea, right? That's the important question of life. What's the future like? Some of those aren't as critical, but we want to know about those. The Bible speaks to it. What's the future going to be like? How should we live now? What's the nature of the Word itself? And we'll look at all of those topics. And one fun bonus one. What does it mean to be Baptist? Huh? That's going to be a good one. All right? I don't even know if I can answer that question. I'm going to give a message on that. We'll just look at historical Baptist distinctives. That'll be the spoiler for that. But because that has changed and it's, yeah. But I'm excited about it. And I think it's going to be good for us. And I hope that we will gain and grow from our study through the core doctrines of Christianity. Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to talk about a topic. And it is humbling to think about how heavy and important right doctrine is. And we know we're flawed, and I know I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to be told, you were wrong on that one. And I hate that. And we're just trying to do our best to get it right and to know what you've told us and to just pray in our weakness that you'd help us as we study through these things. We pray for our friend Jack. He seemed like a nice man, and in some level I think his heart was in the right place. I'm very concerned for his soul. And I pray that my very weak interaction with him would drive him to your word. Maybe my confrontation of him could make him dig into your scriptures to see if I was wrong, and that he could learn and know you, God. And I just pray that you'd save that man and turn him from his craziness. And God, guide us. Your word is perfect, it's beautiful, and it certainly demands action. Help us today in whatever way you would like us to change, in whatever way you're working on us now, and just grow us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and thank you for your church. And it's a shame, I think Jack just separated himself from the ministry of the church. Thank you for the safety of the church and so many Christians thinking together and trying to understand you together and being a blessing to one another. And just pray that you continue to grow our body and use us in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.